Hey, as you take a seat this morning, I want to welcome you once again. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Long Beach Alliance, and it's good to be with all of you that are here face-to-face. Great to be with everybody that is online as well. I just want to welcome everybody this morning and let you know that we've got a really special morning that is out in front of us, and it's going to start in God's Word. And so if you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, and you can stand up. I'm not putting these words up on the screen today. So if you're at home or you're here, you're going to have to grab a Bible and open them up to Matthew, first book of the New Testament, going to chapter 18. I'm going to be reading just a little bit out of 18 and 19. You can stand. I said stand up. We're going to stand this morning in honor of God's Word. And let me remind you again, if you don't hear anything else, the most important thing you will hear today is the Word of God. The Word of God from Matthew chapter 18, the first four verses, and then I'll read a little bit of chapter 19, which is probably on the next page for most of you. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Humble boys, aren't they? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Chapter 19, verse 13. Jesus has been doing some teaching, and he wants to bring it home. Verse 13. "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." This is God's word for us today as a community. I pray that you would hear it and the Spirit would use it to speak to your hearts this morning. You may be seated. You know, Jesus had just been doing some teaching. He talks, he brings that child. The disciples still worried about themselves mostly. The disciples still don't really understand, and they rebuke the crowds that try to bring more kids to him. And Jesus invites them, and then immediately, with that child still there, immediately goes into teaching about a rich young man, or in some of our vernacular, a rich young ruler. The disciples, listening to his teaching about what it requires to enter into the kingdom of heaven, have this response in verse 25 and 26 of chapter 19. The disciples heard this, and they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." I implore you this morning to remember these words. Remember how these passages work together. Remember what Jesus Christ is illustrating and what he's doing. He's not just talking about children as in little kids. He's talking about us as God's children. And I think that that really brings home a bit of what we're going to be getting the opportunity to talk about today. Recently, a lot of you already know this, recently I was in the Dominican Republic. Can we get, you could roll those pictures up in any order that you want. Not that order. Let's go to the next one. We could start there. This is me in the Dominican Republic at Dodgertown, in the DR. That was a very important slide to me. Maybe I should have said, let's start with the other slide. There we go. So this was the team of folks that went down to the Dominican Republic. I was going down there with the Christian Missionary Alliance, the denomination that we are partnered with, and I was also going down with an organization called One Child that the Christian Missionary Alliance is partnering with to do for right now. I'll just call it child championing. And in fact, the front of your worship guide talks about being a child champion. The marquee out front talks about being a child champion. And I hope you really walk out of here this morning understanding what it means to be a child champion. This was kind of a forward team, a team that had the opportunity to go down. That's just a bunch of pastors and church leaders that got the opportunity to go down and check out what was going on in the Dominican Republic. I also got to see some of the churches down there. Now that first slide would be fantastico. This is one of the churches that we were at, and I could show you all the pictures on the inside, but I'm not going to. But I just want to point out that our partnerships that we're going to be talking about this morning are with churches that are down there in the Dominican Republic, and these are Christian Missionary Alliance churches. Christian Missionary Alliance churches and areas that actually our church, whether you even are aware of it or not, have been a part of establishing previously. Even when our students attended life conferences back in the 90s, we were establishing some of the ministry that is going on down in the Dominican Republic today. That matters to me. It matters to me because I have been at Long Beach Alliance long enough to be able to see your little children grow up to now be the adults that are in the room right now that have got their own children, and those children are now being raised up in the life of this church. I've been here long enough to see some of those kids that I used to work with actually get to work on staff with those kids. I've been here long enough to be able to appreciate what it means to be really a generational church, to live holding the hands of those of you that are older than me, and to hold the hands of those of you that are younger than me, and to be united together as a family. It's been a wonderful almost 30 years of ministry here at Long Beach Alliance, and I just want to remind you, I want to remind you again and again and again of who we are. We are a family. We are a family church. Whether you are single or you come from a family of 10 people, this is family for all of us. And the Bible says that this family that is inside of this room is part of a bigger family that God is establishing, and that family is going to be together forever. Your blood family, you get to ditch them, but you don't ditch us. We're going to be with each other forever. So I recommend that you get along with the family. I recommend that you invest in the family. I recommend that you really learn what Jesus meant when he said, "A new commandment I give you, to love one another." He wasn't pointing at the world. He was pointing at the church. That the way that we love each other, the way that we extend that love to other people, this is how the world will know that we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ. All of this is super important because when I was down in the Dominican Republic, and I you don't need to put up the Dodger Town thing. That was just more of a, that was a fun thing I got to do, and it took about 30 seconds. But when we were down in the Dominican Republic, I got to be around so many little children. So many little children that live in what is comparatively poverty. The very poorest kid that we know in our community would be by far the richest kid down in some of the communities that I got to visit down in the Dominican Republic. I got to visit a lot of amazing places. It's funny how an experience like that can be so eye-opening and so life-changing. But it's not enough. It's not enough that many of you were good enough to send me down there and to give me that time, and one child was good enough to pay for the whole trip so that I had the opportunity to go down with Christian Missionary Alliance leaders. It's not enough. And so I wanted this morning to invite a good friend of mine. I've known James Grout, who I'm about to have come on up here. I've known James for almost 30 years. We've been working together. We worked in student ministry together, working with at the national level with one another, and we were fast friends then. We have very similar senses of humor, which is probably terrifying to some of you, that we're both going to be on stage at the same time here in a second. But we've got similar senses of humor. We look at the world through this wonderful lens of what Jesus has done for us, and it is so undeserved. James is a guy who really understands the grace of God because he's needed the grace of God. And I know what that is like, and I know what that means. And so I don't compliment him just as a guy that's going to be coming up here on stage. I commend him to you this morning, that you would listen carefully to what James has to share with us, because he's also, by virtue of being here today, by virtue of what we're going to introduce this morning, this is part of our family. And it's part of the DNA of our denomination. And it's part of who we are becoming. And I'm really excited about it. Because what happened with me down in the Dominican Republic, it doesn't stop there. And today are some of the first steps in moving forward as a church in kind of leaning into what I mean by that. And so would you please welcome my good friend, a guy that works with One Child in the Christian Missionary Alliance, James Grout. Hey. How's
Thank
it going?
You. Yeah, it's good. That was a lovely introduction.
If I had hair, dude, that's what I would do with it. That is awesome. I love it. Stay right here. So, James, tell us a little bit about One Child. I would bet that most people in the room don't really know much about it, other than what I've shared before. And so, why don't you share with us a little bit about One Child and give us kind of a window into what One Child is all about.
I would love to. First, let me say what a privilege it is to be here with you. I've actually been here once before. I don't remember why I came on a Sunday morning. I just remember I had a bad seat behind that pillar right there. Yeah, that's where I was sitting. Welcome.
The Jews are back
there. Sorry, there you go. That's the move you need to make. I should have made that move. but it really is a privilege to be here. And he's already described our friendship and how long we've known each other, how much we've been connected over the years. And so I'm just really thankful. And I really enjoyed having Chris on that trip, Pastor Chris on that trip to the Dominican Republic, because it was a great few days of really getting to reconnect with one another after not having been around each other very much over the last couple of years. So very thankful. And your pastor sees the world very differently. And I loved having his eyes on that trip, because he would notice things and point things out, and he thinks biblically and theologically about almost everything. And even stopping to take a picture at the Dodgers training area there, that was all theological. There was some biblical principle that he said we have to study. And we crossed a really dangerous road to take that photo. But God led him there, so we had to do it. So anyway, so to your question, that's my preamble. I haven't even answered the question yet. One Child, we call ourselves a global community of child champions. And a child champion is defined as anybody who gives of themselves so that a child may thrive. So that could be a mentor, a tutor, it could be a teacher, it could be a pastor, it could be a parent, it could be an uncle or an aunt, it could be a doctor or a nurse. Anyone who gives of themselves so that a child can thrive. And all around the world, where we have our what we call our hope centers, child development centers, we have volunteers who are champions for the children in that place. They're from that community. They are a part of that place. These aren't missionaries that we've sent out. These are actually locals who love those children, care for those children, and know their names and reach out to them and protect them. They're called child champions. But child champions don't just exist around the world. They exist right here as well. There's child champions in this room. Any of you who give of yourselves so that a child can thrive, you are a champion for children. And sometimes a champion for children in our organization means a sponsor, someone who would actually be connected to that child through sponsorship. So that's who we are, a little bit of kind of background about that. And I use the word sponsorship there, and I don't know what your familiarity is with the word sponsorship, or what you think of that word, or if you have experience around that word. But when you hear that word, here's what I would like you to think of. Think of the word development. A sponsored child is a child who's a part of a development program, and I can explain a little bit more about that. But just keep that word in mind. Development is what sponsorship is actually about.
So I knew this would go this direction. It's a phenomenal explanation, and it really matches the experience that I had. But I want you to feel it. I want you to get a sense of it. And so one child's got a video. It's just a couple minutes long, I think. And I'd like you to see this. It's got some subtitles, just in case you need those, so you can follow along with those. So we're gonna play just a short video, and then I'm gonna keep interviewing James. So take a look. So let me ask you. You mentioned the sponsorship aspect. Obviously, the setup in the back, and yep. And we're a little bit familiar with sponsorship. Like you said, some of us have sponsored with other organizations. We've had children on our refrigerators and stuff like that. Tell me about sponsorship with one child, and can you do what you did for me, which is tell me why the Christian Missionary Alliance has chosen to make up this partnership? Like, why would we choose to partner with one child as opposed to partnering with whatever, some other worldwide vision organization or that kind of thing?
Great question. I'll explain what all is involved in sponsorship in a second, but the answer to your question is family. You already said it. You said family. The Christian Missionary Alliance is a global family. All over the world, millions of people are a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. It's a huge organization. And the leadership at the Alliance was looking at all the children's ministry that we do around the world as a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And then they were looking at the fact that we partner with organizations who aren't even connected to Alliance churches to sponsor children. And so we're sponsoring children that don't come from our family. They come from the church, but not our CMA family. And so they asked, is it possible? Is there a way that we could partner with one child so that our people could sponsor children who are a part of Alliance churches? So it wouldn't just be a sponsor to a child relationship. It's going to be a church to church, a church family to a church family. It's going to be a community to a community. It's going to be a pastor to a pastor. And that was what the Alliance wanted. That's certainly what we want. That's our whole model, is built around church partnerships. We want churches to be connected across the globe. So that's where that came from. It was an idea that we both shared, and then we decided to go into partnership in the Dominican Republic, where we've already been in partnership for years. Over a decade, we've been working together down there with Hope Centers all over that island. But we opened up 3 brand new Hope Centers, which is what we went to visit when we went on this trip together. So sponsorship, it's a $39 a month relationship, partnership, and you sponsor an individual child. You would be the only sponsor for that child. We don't use a child to get 6 sponsors. We use a child to get 1 sponsor. We want to make sure that children are being sponsored by one person. It's a real relationship. So this little guy's name is Gustavo. And he is 8 years old. He's a boy. His birthday is January 7th, and he's from the Dominican Republic. And it says a little bit about him on the inside, so you know what it is. $39 a month helps him with things like help with his education. We want children to stay in school as long as possible. And children who live in extreme poverty, they don't necessarily get that opportunity. It's a little bit of a given for us. The last 2 years notwithstanding, it's a little bit of a given for us that our children get to go to school and finish school. When children live in extreme poverty, that is not a given. In fact, it's more common that children would not finish school. Young girls become child brides. Young boys join gangs. Children of all ages go and work in the garbage dump or begging on the streets or in their with whatever their parents' business might be. They have to start working, and they drop out of school. So one of the things that we really require, if parents want their child to be in our program, is that they keep them in school. You have to stay in school to be a part of this development program. and such high incentive for parents to keep their kids in school. The longer they're in school, the greater chance they have at success, the greater chance they have at thriving, the greater chance they have of actually even going on and ending the cycle of poverty that their family has lived in for generations. So education is really huge and important. We really want them to be engaged there. Nutrition is a big deal. Some of these children live on rice and beans, and that's it. That's their entire diet, and that's not good enough. We make sure that they have health care as well. If they have immunizations that they need, if they have checkups regularly, dental checkups, all that stuff, we want to make sure that that's happening as well. That's part of a development program. We want them to have a safe place to be a child. Talk about a given. It's a given here that if you're a child, you get to be a child. You can play in games and you can have fun. And children living in poverty, it is not a given that they will be able to enjoy their lives as children. A child deserves to be a child. And we give them the opportunity to do that in a safe place. We walked through some slums when we were down there. And there's kids all over the place in the streets, but it doesn't mean it's safe. That is not a safe place for them to play. We provide them with a safe place to be a child. And then number one, of all the things that really matter about our development program is that everywhere we work, every Hope Center that we have is connected to a local, gospel-believing, gospel-teaching church. And so these children get to hear about the God who created them, who put his very imprint on their lives so that they would desire to know him someday. Just internally, they would have this desire to know this God. And they have a chance to hear about hope. They have a chance. We define hope this way. Hope is a vision of a preferred future, a way to get there, and the courage to try. The preferred future, that hope that they have, is when they hear about a God who loves them, who created them on purpose, for a purpose. They begin to have hope. But for their circumstances, hope is dangerous. Hope is dangerous if you don't have any way to move towards that preferred future. So that's what the program is. It's a pathway forward. That's what development does. But the pathway is difficult. Guaranteed it's going to be hard. If it was easy, everyone would have done it. But it's hard. And so what they really need is the courage to stay on that path. And that's what our child champions do. They give them the courage. They give them the support. They make sure that they stay on that path. This is the way we can actually end extreme poverty. This is one of the ways that we can take on extreme poverty in the world is by really good transformational development programs run by people who really care about children. So all of that is captured in sponsoring a child. That's awesome. A long, long answer.
and here's the parts that I think really resonated for me when I was in the Dominican Republic. And by the way, it killed me to not sponsor a kid while I was down there. But I told the whole team and I told James, I'm waiting until my whole church gets to hear about this. And then with my family, as part of this family, then we'll sponsor a kid. But I'm not just going to do it like a one-off thing that I'm doing to take some pictures. Not that the other guys did, but I mean, it was really just a cheap picture thing that they did. No, I'm joking. It was actually, I've got video of it. It was quite touching. These children, because they are in the Dominican Republic, and the Dominican Republic is fairly accessible to us in the United States, this isn't something that's so far away that some of you that are here couldn't go down and be a part of it. This is like doing ministry in Mexico, or this is like doing ministry in Haiti or next door in the Dominican. This is accessible for us. We will be able to go down on a missions trip as a church, and those of you that are sponsoring kids, you'd be able to go down and actually meet your child, and it means something. It means something to them, and it'll mean something to you. And it puts hands and feet to the gospel in our church life. Like it's not just a one way investment. It's not like I'm just chucking $40. I've been manipulated before, right? Just drink two less lattes a month, and that'll be $40, and you know, that kind of thing at Starbucks. Or
keep drinking your lattes. You don't have to stop doing that.
Don't stop that. there's all kinds of manipulative ways. The beauty I thought of one child was this is partnership between churches. There's lots of organizations that do social work, that do really good social work. It's not bad to do social work in the world. This is what James would call development. Here's my theological way of looking at it. I call discipleship. We have the opportunity to disciple children that otherwise will not experience the same type of thriving life.
That's right.
We have the opportunity to invest in something that is going to be life-changing there, but it also is life-changing here. And I think of that in two primary ways for our church congregation. One, as we sponsor children, as this becomes part of the DNA of Long Beach Alliance, because we have always been about kids. We have always been about kids and families and VBS and all that stuff that we have done historically for decades and decades. We have always been about this stuff. When the adults and when the lifeblood of the church gets involved in things that are life-giving to others, it has an extraordinary effect on the younger generation that is around us. I know that. It's provable. And I've seen it here at Long Beach Alliance. One generation handing off ministry to the next generation, handing off ministry to the next generation. It's been beautiful. It's been wonderful. And I love being a part of this church family because of it. There's a second way that I think is really crucial for us to connect with. You've probably heard Pastor Scott, who's got a deep heart for missions. You've heard it from other missionaries that have come here from the Christian Missionary Alliance. You've heard that they're having a really hard time getting people to support the Great Commission Fund. That funding for that goes down every year a little bit, and our missionaries get a little less, and you know, what used to be a really elite team of missionaries is now a little bit underfunded, and so they have to do some funding on the side, so to speak. How do you get a younger generation I don't want to sound too cliche or too typical, but you know, they won't look up from their phones more than 5 seconds at a time. Some of you just looked up from your phones. That was cute. How do you get them to invest in something that is a lifetime effort? It's like not just an effort for this week or this month. This is a lifetime effort of investment. Like, this is true discipleship. This is the marathon, not the sprint. How do you do that? Parents, grandparents that are in the room. Your children understand what it means to help out somebody that is a child. They understand what it means for you to gather them together and introduce them to your kid. This is a gateway to introduce a younger generation to the gospel and who we are, not just who we are inside these walls, but who we are outside this country. This is an opportunity to introduce a whole younger generation to a new way of supporting what is going on in the Christian Missionary Alliance. And whether you know it or not, those are churches you help plant. Those are churches you help put in the Dominican Republic. I got to be with those pastors. I got to see those ministries. I got to see those ministries and others. This makes sense for a church like ours. It makes sense for a church like ours to be connected to churches like those and to support kids like these. And someday to see one of us standing with Gustavo, taking a picture, crying tears because you've exchanged Christmas cards, you've done life together, and you realize this isn't just some far away thing I'm throwing a few bucks at. This is like I'm boots on the ground. Our church is going there, and it's family to family, it's church to church, it's people to people, and it's real discipleship, and it's really who we are. And I don't think that needs any convincing. Those are two big ways that I think it's going to change the future of Long Beach Lions Church. And so I want to mention those as we're kind of progressing along. Tell me more about that. We would want to know about the partnership between Long Beach Lions, One Child, CMA, all of that.
Yeah, so part of the CMA is an organization called Envision, and that's who we're partnering with down in the Dominican Republic. Envision is there on the ground. They do. There's a lot of short-term teams that go out with Envision around the world. About 4,000 Alliance people every year go on trips with Envision around the world, and Dominican Republic is one of those locations. And so these three Hope Centers were kind of hand-picked by the Envision staff to say, this is where we want to start. We want to start with these three churches and expand from here. So that's another part of this partnership, that even the trip that you go on would be along with the family that we are all a part of as the Christian Missionary Alliance. The only other thing that I didn't explain was just, you actually said it. You came really close to saying one of my favorite lines, which is, child sponsorship is a gateway drug to generosity. And you're our partners now, so you're all implicit. You're all involved in this hope dealing thing that we got going on. So if I go down, you go down, we all go down together. So, but this is a little bit of how you actually sponsor a child. There's a card on the inside of this profile that you fill that out, tear that out. It's perforated. You can tear that out and leave that with me before you leave here today. And then take the rest of this home with you. As long as you leave that white card. If you take that white card and this whole thing and take it home and put it on your coffee table and say, I'm going to pray on this for a few days and forget about it. And that child, we lose track of that child. Internally, we call it kidnapping. So it's totally contrary to our mission. It's the opposite of our mission. So if you could fill that white card out and leave it with me, then take this home. Then you'll get something in the mail, and it'll tell you how to actually build this relationship with that child and that family and that church through writing letters to them, possibly sending gifts to them, definitely praying for them. Sometimes a child gets a letter from a sponsor, and it's the first time anyone has ever said, God loves you, and I love you. They've never heard anyone say that to them, except maybe at their Hope Center. Your words matter to that child, and your prayers matter for that child. I think about my two daughters and the people who tell me all the time that they're praying for my daughter. Some people I don't even know I don't know them very well. And they'll say, you know what, I've decided that I'm going to pray for your girls. That means so much to me as a dad, because they need those prayers. And these children need those prayers as well. So your prayers matter, and then the opportunity to actually meet your sponsored child, which changes everything. My sponsored child is a little girl named Princess. I chose her because her name's Princess. Come on. Like, who wouldn't want a princess in their family? She lives in the Philippines, and I kind of fell in love with this little girl just the day that we sponsored her. But then when I got to actually go and meet her and her mom and her older brother and little sister, and I saw where she goes to school, and I know the little path that she walks down to get to the Hope Center, it changes the way I think about her. It changes the way I pray for her. It changes what the relationship is really like. So the opportunity to actually meet a child is really huge. So this is what we're doing today. This is the beginning of a relationship. It's not a one-time deal. We're not just here making a presentation. This is the beginning of a partnership that we see going for a long time.
I leave tomorrow, actually I leave today, for our district conference with the Christian Missionary Alliance. Our district's getting together for a conference, and we do this once every couple of years, and we're going to be introducing this at district conference as well. We're going to be inviting other churches in our district, in this Southern California area, to partner with One Child and the Christian Missionary Alliance to support kids down in the Dominican Republic. I would love to see all 110 churches that we have down in this district get involved in this kind of thing, because I really believe in the family. I really believe in what God is doing through One Child. And I got to see some kids that had been a part of they'd gone through the program, right? They'd grown up in it, and they'd aged out, right? These are now young college age students. And so they were coming back, and they were kind of sharing about their experience. And these kids brought back a thick stack of letters that their families had written to them, with pictures of the, you know, the kids, the pets, the whole 10 yards, like just exchanging the family pictures. And they kept everything. Everything. It was like, a journal of their journey that they had gone on with one child, and how this had worked with their church, and how it was connected. And I just thought, this is just a thing of beauty. It's really hard to even explain it, because these young people would describe their experience in almost kind of, you know, sacred terms of how much difference it made in their lives and how different their life had gone because of the experience. And I just think, man, being able to keep these kids connected to church, keep them connected to education, this makes a huge difference. And I wanted to commend it to you, but I also want to commend it to you for those bigger picture things. This is part of who we are, and this is a big part of where we are headed in the future.
Yeah. I'll just finish with a story if I can. There's a place in Dominican Republic. It's called Salsa Puedes. It's a community that literally the name means no way out, or possibly get out if you can. It would be translated that way. And it's the worst slum in that country, I'm pretty sure. It's the scariest, one of the scariest places I've ever been. And I was walking through that slum one time. I had a group of pastors with me. We're walking through that slum. We're being led by the director of the Hope Center, who used to be a gang member in that community. And that's the only reason I felt safe there, is because I knew that he was a known entity, and he's a huge dude. So I felt pretty safe, but it was a scary community. And everywhere I walked, it felt like we were in a war zone. That's what it felt like to me. It just felt like, man, like anything could happen right now. It just feels dangerous here. And there's children everywhere in that community. And this is their life. This is where they grew up. And we stopped. We were doing a home visit, which means we were going to meet one of our sponsored children. She was a teenager. She was probably about 15 or 16 years old and had been in the program since she was just a little girl. And when we walked into her little apartment that she shared with her mom and her dad and I think another sibling, very small, two rooms. But when we walked in there, something changed about the atmosphere in that community. I walked into a place of peace. There was a sense of calm. There was a sense, and this girl came out with this huge smile on her face, introduced us to her parents, and I was like, man, where did this girl come from? I just walked through this community. How did that happen? How did she become this person from this beginning, from where she was actually raised? And the truth is, it was because she'd been a part of this program. And when she brought out her stack of letters from her sponsor, she was so proud of those. Like, she brought them out to show us, and she wanted to tell us about her sponsor, tell us about who that was. And her sponsor actually, she had needed braces, and her sponsor actually helped her get braces. And, well, one child helped her get braces, but her sponsor wanted to donate to that. And then I said to her, What are your plans? And she said, "Oh, I'm going to be a dentist someday." And I was like, "Okay, well, this girl definitely has a vision of a preferred future, and she's on a pathway, and she's definitely got the courage to try." So that, to me, I'll tell you, that was my very first trip with one child, and I was a little bit worried that I might not be cut out for this ministry. I've been a youth pastor all my life, love teenagers. So with children. You know, I didn't tell them that in the interview. That probably wouldn't have been a good thing to say. I don't really like kids, but I want the job. So, but when I saw that girl and I understood that's the product of this child development program, that's what we're actually doing, then I said, oh, I can advocate for this organization. I can advocate for these children all day, every day, for the rest of my life if I need to. And I might.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. You know, I know cynically, I know some of you, and so I just want to say, you might just go, you might lean over to your spouse, you might lean over to your friend, just go, oh, this is just, you know, this is just an appeal because this is Chris's buddy, and, you know, it's something the denomination got involved with, and I just want to run right toward that. You're absolutely right. I believe that our denomination is doing some of the finest missions work in the world. And I believe that they're connected in places that give tremendous amounts of spiritual and social support to the communities that they're in and to the people that they get to minister to. And I've known James for a very long time. And I, like I said before, he's a man of grace, better than that. Probably for this purpose here, he's a guy that's got real authenticity, transparency, and integrity. And so the stuff that he's involved with is just stuff that I naturally gravitate towards, just like it is with a lot of you. Like, we have similar things that we're interested in. We have similar things that we invest in. We have similar things that we are part of, because who we are. We know each other. We love each other. And so I'm not going to shy away from any of that. I would just say, if you have the opportunity to just even stop by and talk to James afterwards or whatnot, I think it'll be a great benefit to you. And if it's not the time and it's not for you, that's okay. We're going to put a link up in the next week. We're going to put a link up on our website to where you can connect to the One Child, the CMA's One Child page. We're going to continue to develop this relationship, to continue to develop this partnership, and continue to see other churches that are close to us that are developing this partnership and put those things together. And I cannot wait to lead teams that get to go down to the Dominican Republic. I hope to take some of your families. It would be fantastic for those of you that are parents and still have kids at home to take your kids to the Dominican Republic. You can tell them there's starving kids in somewhere in the world and, you know, like, eat your peas. And it'll never make a difference, right? Just like it didn't for you. But when you take a kid down and they get the opportunity to see it firsthand, when you get the opportunity to see it firsthand, you will make different choices in your life. It will change who you are. And praise God for that. Praise God that He's still at work, even with fools like me. Hope in the Bible is a vision of who you are becoming. A vision that you cannot see, but God can. That's why our hope is in Christ. Because who we are becoming, even though you can't see it, Jesus can. And He gives you hope for this journey to lead you to places that are, that you would just never imagined. Bring change in your life that you could never fathom. Hope, when it is at work in the midst of our lives, it just explodes with faith and faith-filled living. When you're around hopeful people, they're people that can see who you are becoming, even when you can't. That's what this is about. And that's who we are. And so I want to respond, like we always do at the end of the service, I want to respond in worship. I want to respond to a King who has given us the greatest of all hope. And that's in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And we're going to respond in worship to our King. But as we do, I want you to also be thoughtful about what God is stirring in your heart, our church's heart, for being child champions. Let's stand together as we prepare ourselves to respond in worship this morning.